Okay, it's August 2nd, 2009 in Munich, in the evening, and we're looking again at Canto 7, Chapter 5. And I'm just going to read the same thing I read yesterday. The verse is, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased with the living entity because of his devotional service, one becomes a pandita and does not make distinctions between enemies, friends, and himself. Intelligently, he then thinks, every one of us is an eternal servant of God, and therefore we are not different from one another. And we were talking a lot about this paragraph in the verse. Everyone should be friendly for the service of the Lord. Everyone should praise another's service to the Lord. And not be proud of his own service. This is the way of Vaishnava thinking, Vaikuntha thinking. There may be rivalries and apparent competition between servants in performing service, but in the Vaikuntha planets, the service of another servant is appreciated, not condemned. This is Vaikuntha competition. There is no question of enmity between servants. Everyone should be allowed to render service to the Lord to the best of his ability, and everyone should appreciate the service of others. Such are the activities of Vaikuntha. Since everyone is a servant, everyone is on the same platform and is allowed to serve the Lord according to his ability. And we were looking at the last couple days on the fact that we are a soul, that we come from the spiritual world, that we come from a place where all living entities are appreciating one another. And that if we wish to be part of that world, we should also practice being appreciative of all other living beings and also appreciative of Krishna. And that even from a selfish, materialistic point of view, if I want to be appreciated, I should appreciate others. Because what I get is what, according to the law of karma, is what I'm giving. And we talked yesterday also about how specifically to show appreciation. And what did we say? How does one show appreciation? Who remembers from yesterday? What do we do?
You tell him what he did, which what he did not.
What he did. Okay, do we use... Oh, a garland! And what is the... What do we have to do first? It's okay. Before we can tell somebody what they did, what's the first thing we have to do? We have to observe. And what kind... How do we describe what the person did? What kind of language do we use? What language do we use? What language do we not use? What kind of words do we not use when we describe what somebody's done?
You don't say, oh, you're such a wonderful person, you're such nice.
Okay, we don't use general words. What sort of language do we use?
In Russian, like, you tell them the facts.
Just facts. Something you can see with a camera or here with a microphone. I've noticed that you are in the temple room every morning at 4:15. Just a fact. Okay. And then after we tell somebody the facts, what's the next step we can take? We can say how we feel. When I see you doing this, I feel satisfied. I feel enlivened. And then the last step is to
recognize.
Okay, first thing is I observe. The next thing is I describe. The next I say how I feel about it. And the last is I paint a picture for that person of the future. I make it more general. I believe Krishna is really going to shower his mercy on you, or I believe that you're really going to go on in Lord Chaitanya's movement as a preacher or something like that. Okay? Can someone tell me the steps again, please? What's the first step in appreciation?
To observe.
Next step is to?
Telling the facts.
Telling the facts. Next step is?
Feel.
Saying how you feel. And last step is? Talking about the future in a general way for that person. Now, even if all you do is simply talk about the facts, that can be enough. Just the fact that you notice what someone's doing and talk about the facts. And again, not in a general way. A general way is not really appreciation. When we speak in a general way, that's called? Can be flattery. Or also, if I just say, you're so wonderful, you're so sincere, you're so devoted, you're so humble, you're so dedicated, you sacrifice so much. What is that? That's not appreciation. That is something else. Praise. That's praise. And the Shastra says, don't praise and don't criticize. Did you know that? In the story of Ramchandra Puri, when Ramchandra Puri came to Jagannath Puri, and he was criticizing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so when the devotees were discussing his behavior, they say there's a Shastra conjunction, don't praise and don't criticize. But of those two, don't criticize is more important. Right? But one should not praise either. Why? Why don't we praise? Why don't we just say, oh, you're such a humble devotee. If I said to you, oh, you're just so dedicated and sincere. What's wrong with that?
Nothing. Just.
What's wrong with that? Why is there a Shastric prohibition against praising? Yes.
Because the person knows even himself that he's not that perfect.
Yes.
And he said, oh, what do you want from me?
Exactly. Exactly. So the person knows that such statements cannot be true, and therefore they become just suspicious. Instead of feeling happy, they feel suspicious. Or what else can happen? They become proud. A person can believe it. Can think, oh yeah, I'm really sincere. I'm really dedicated. And then they become proud. Therefore, Bhakti Siddhanta says, someone who flatters me is my enemy. So we're not talking about flattering. We're talking about appreciation. In the spiritual world, everybody is appreciating. People are not each other's enemy. All right. Now today, we're going to look at, who remembers what I said we're going to look at today?
Criticizing part.
Okay. We're going to look at the negative. Because I'm sure you've noticed that even if you really appreciate others, you can still also criticize. It's not that if you just appreciate that all the criticism will automatically go away. Sometimes people say, well, if you're just appreciative, then that will cure criticism. I have found that they can exist side by side. Although it is true that if you practice appreciating people, your criticism will be less. You'll see people with a different eye. I wanted to look now, because we were looking at the Bhagavatam, at the Nectar of Instruction, text 5. Krishne tiyasya giritam manasadriyeta dikshasti chat pranatibis chabajantamisham shushrushaya bhajanam vignanam anyamanya nindari shunyam ridayam ipshita sangalabhya. Now here, Rupa Goswami has just talked about, previous to this, the 6 loving exchanges. The 6 loving exchanges are you reveal your mind in confidence, part of which is appreciating, by the way. Revealing my mind in confidence means that I am also, that includes appreciating others. I hear others reveal their mind in confidence. I give gifts. I receive gifts. I give prasadam, and I receive prasadam. Now you might say, with whom do I do these things? So therefore, Rupa Goswami is now telling us how to discriminate with whom I have these 6 loving exchanges. He says, one should mentally honor The devotee who chants the holy name of Lord Krishna. So anyone who chants is chanting Hare Krishna, we honor them in our mind. One should offer humble obeisances to the devotees who's undergone spiritual initiation, diksha, that's what we normally call in ISKCON a second initiation, and is engaged in worshipping the deity. What Prabhupada did is Prabhupada took the traditional Pancha Retreat diksha and he divided it into two. And he gave part of that diksha at what Prabhupada called first initiation and part of it at what Prabhupada called second initiation. So Prabhupada divided the Shastric diksha in half, and he said he did this because he was dealing with people who didn't come from a proper background. I mean, honestly, even most Indians have not been trained properly in Vaishnav Achar. Some have. I mean, there are some Indians who are really incredible, and the same is true for some of the children growing up in the Hare Krishna movement, even though they may be growing up in Germany or Russia or Peru or someplace like that, where they're grown up with real sadachar from a childhood. But most of us don't have that, even if we're from traditional Vaishnava families. Therefore, Prabhupada saw that he needed to break down the diksha into two steps. And one should associate with and faithfully serve that pure devotee who is advanced in undeviating devotional service and whose heart is completely devoid of the propensity to criticize others. So I've always found it very, very interesting that Rupa Goswami here is giving a very, very simple definition of a beginner devotee, an intermediate devotee, and an advanced devotee. Beginner devotee is chanting Hare Krishna. Intermediate devotee has received diksha. And an advanced devotee has no propensity in their heart to criticize others. Now, he could have said so many things. We read in the Bhagavad Gita, there are several places where Krishna is asked, what are the qualities of a great devotee? In what parts of Bhagavad Gita is Krishna asked this question by Arjuna? Second chapter, where else? 14th chapter, yes, where else? One more place at least. One place he's not asked, but he gives. 12th. So if you look at the second chapter, 12th chapter, 14th chapter, there may be some other places too. I mean, there's briefly in the 7th and 9th chapter, Krishna gives also some qualities of the devotee like satyatam, kirtayam, tamam. But you'll find that Krishna's descriptions of the devotee in the Bhagavad Gita generally deal with what attribute? Can you translate for both? You need a translator, don't you? Yes, you're there suffering. Thank you for sitting here, even though you don't understand. He's there suffering, waiting for the translator. So can you tell me the essence of Krishna's description of a devotee in the 2nd, 12th, and 14th chapter? Yes?
He sees everybody with equal
vision. Equal vision. Equipoised. It's talking about being equipoised in heat and cold, and happiness and distress, and honor and dishonor. Doesn't care for any residents. Sees all people equally. Krishna's really emphasizing this equipoised. Now here, Rupa Goswami is giving one quality of an advanced devotee. Only one quality. Are there many qualities of an advanced devotee?
Yes.
Many. There's at least 26 qualities. If we take the list of qualities, then we could look at the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna lists the divine qualities, right? So of all of the qualities Rupa Goswami could have picked, he picks this one, whose heart is completely devoid of the propensity to criticize others. And he doesn't say someone who doesn't criticize. He's not just talking about... Do I need to go more slowly? He's not just talking about behavior. He doesn't say the Uttama Adhikari is one who doesn't criticize others. He says the Uttama Adhikari is one whose heart is completely free of the tendency to criticize others. Now, I know I said in one of my classes here how in this world there's many laws. There's a police force, right? There's military. As I told you, as I was traveling through Russia, every single city, where's your registration? Hey, you're coming to Germany, what are you doing here? How long are you going to be here? Even now it's so bad when I go back to America, which is my own country, they're asking me, what are you doing here? How long are you going to be here? I'm thinking, I have an American passport. Why are you bothering me in my own country? But in the spiritual world, there's no police force. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur says there's two rules. Does anyone remember what is this to the two rules of the spiritual world?
To have love for
Krishna and the devotees. That's the positive. And the negative is? Don't envy. This is in Bhakti Loka in the Niyamagraha section. So in the spiritual world, the positive rule is prema. The positive rule is love. Have love for Krishna, have love for the devotees. And that love is expressed through the six loving exchanges. And revealing your mind in confidence includes this revealing of appreciation, as we're reading in the Bhagavatam. How in the spiritual world, everyone is appreciating everyone else's service. So that's one of the ways you show love. But on the negative side is don't envy. Now, if we think about it, why do we have the propensity to criticize others? Have you all noticed this tendency to be critical of others? It's amazing, isn't it? I see someone and immediately I find something to criticize. Immediately. Why are they sitting like that? You know? Why are they wearing those particular clothes? Oh, you have no tilak. Something, you know? I'll find something. Some way in which I think I am better than this person. It's amazing. If I find somebody of a lower status than myself, I gloat and I think, oh, just see how much better I am than that person. If I find somebody equal to me, I try to find some area in which I am better. And if I find someone better than me, I try to find some fault. Especially I try to look for a fault that I don't have. And a lot of the news media is dedicated to finding faults in great personalities. So much of the news media. Television, magazines, newspapers. Let's take this person who's rich or intelligent or beautiful or famous or talented or something and find fault with them. And people have this as their regular habit. Remember what I was talking about, that what we get back, we give out? So I was talking with one friend of mine who's married, and she was complaining, which he does often, about how her husband is often criticizing her. She said, it's so painful. Anything I do, he tells me what's wrong with it. He doesn't appreciate. He's just fault-finding. And I said to her, I've been hearing this for years, and finally I said to her recently, I said, well, you know, we get back whatever we've given out. Do you criticize him? Oh, no, she said, I don't criticize him. Actually, I know she does because I've stayed at their house. So I hear her criticizing him. But she said, no, I'm not very critical of him. I said, do you criticize anybody? She says, no, actually, I'm not a very critical person. I said, is there anyone you criticize? She said, well, I like to go on the internet, and I like to go to pages about celebrities so that I can discuss with others all the things that they do wrong. I said, there you go. I said, how often do you do this? She said, oh, about every day. This is what I do for entertainment and relaxation. I go to the celebrity pages of the news media. And what's on the celebrity pages? This celebrity did this bad thing. That celebrity did that bad thing. Everybody discussing the faults of the celebrity. So this is how it works. See, she thought, oh, I'm just criticizing celebrities. I'm not criticizing my friends. I'm not criticizing my husband. Why should my husband be criticizing me? But the way it works is that whatever we are getting back, we are putting out. I don't mind little noises. Little noises are fine. Just screaming is not fine. Just little baby noises are fine. So all of us want to be appreciated, and none of us want to be criticized, right? Who here wants to be criticized? You want to be criticized? Okay. Everybody, let's go. One, two, three. Of course, we want to be corrected by people who love us, but I don't think we want to be criticized out of envy. I do want to have people in my life who know me, who care about me, who are my well-wishers, and who are willing to correct me. I do want that, although many people don't even want that. But I don't like people just criticizing me. I really don't like it at all. If someone just says, oh, this thing you're doing is... I don't like that. I'd like someone to say to me, okay, I've noticed there's this and this problem. Why do you do this? What's your side of the story? What's the whole story behind this? Right? Isn't that a fact? So even if we just want to be selfish materialists, even if we don't care about spiritual life, we don't care about Krishna, we don't care about going to the spiritual world, even if we want to be happy in this world, we should appreciate others and not criticize. Because we will get back what we give out. What to speak of if we want to go to the spiritual world? In the spiritual world, that's the one thing you can't do. You can't be envious. You can travel wherever you want. You can eat whatever you want. You can wear whatever you want. You're free. You're a liberated soul. You're free. But the one thing you're not allowed to do is be envious. So if we want to be in that atmosphere, and it's also very interesting, I find it quite interesting, that many times when people join the Hare Krishna movement, they expect that everybody else is going to be like that. They think, oh, everybody in the temple is going to be appreciative and non-envious. But they don't think they have to be like that. Right? Have we seen this so many times? Oh, that person did this and they're a devotee. How can they act like that if they're a devotee? And we don't stop and think, well, wait a minute. I'm saying I'm a devotee. How do I act? What do I do? I had one devotee recently come to me and he's making recordings of reading Prabhupada's books in Russian. So you can listen, so you can hear Prabhupada's books on a CD. You know, in America we have that. We have several devotees who've read Prabhupada's books in English and you can listen to them, you know, when you're in the car and so many things. And he came to me and he said, Urmila, I'd really like you to help me with preventing anybody from making copies of what I'm doing. I want people to just buy it and not copy it. And I said to him, I said, first of all, this is not going to work. People are going to copy it no matter what you do. Don't waste your time. Put your energy into something else. And then I also said to him, do you ever, ever copy anything from anybody illegally? Do you have any illegal software on your computer? Do you ever give anybody a piece of music without paying the... Ever. Do you do it even one time? And he looked at the floor. I said, how can you... Because he started, he came to me very angry. We have to stop this. People are stealing. Right? He's very angry. And I said, are you 100% honest? Right? So we become very indignant. You understand indignant? Very angry. Very hurt. Oh, other people are not appreciating and other people are criticizing. What about me? What do I do? And the way the universe is arranged is we are creating our own situation by our actions. If I want, and I've mentioned this before, how I really like this quote of Gandhi, be the change you want to see in the world. Be the change you want to see in the world. And you may say, well, you know, I don't know if that works. I could stop criticizing and start appreciating and people might still criticize me. Yes, that's true. But first of all, it will greatly decrease. If you start putting out appreciation and stop putting out criticism, the people's appreciation of you will increase and people's criticism of you will decrease. I absolutely guarantee that that will happen. And the other thing that will happen is that, as I said this yesterday, but I'd like to repeat it, Krishna will be very happy with you. He'll be very, very happy with you. You'll be acting in a way that's very pleasing to him. And because he's happy with you, you'll feel his gratitude and you'll feel his appreciation. And then you will not be so affected when other people criticize you. It's not that all people's criticism of you will go away or that everyone will appreciate you, but it won't bother you so much. You'll be satisfied. And Krishna describes that freedom from material misery comes when I'm finding happiness within. It doesn't come just because my external situation becomes perfect. It comes because I change my view of the world. Now, we've looked at this, and the reason I'm criticizing others is due to envy. I want to be better than everybody else. And I think I can become better than everybody else by putting everybody else down. So there was one demon, Vrikasura, who took this kind of to an extreme level. He decided that he could live forever by killing everybody else. Now, as soon as I say this, you immediately say, that's what? I'm going to live forever by killing everybody else. What's your opinion of this strategy? It's crazy. Why is it crazy? Please tell me why this is crazy. This was a real demon, and he really had that strategy. He said, I'm going to live forever by killing everyone else. Please tell me why this is crazy.
Because it doesn't add, killing anybody else doesn't add at all to your ability.
Exactly. If everybody else dies, why does that mean I can live forever? There's no relationship. Okay? I could throw acid on your faces and make you all ugly, and it wouldn't make me any more beautiful. Right? I could bang you in the head and make you all stupid, and it wouldn't make me any smarter. It just doesn't work. Does it?
Make you relatively more beautiful.
It makes me relatively more beautiful in comparison. But it doesn't make me absolutely more beautiful. I suppose if I kill everybody else, then I live longer than everybody else, right?
Yeah.
Right.
The longest.
I live the longest, right? And if I make you all deformed, then I become the most beautiful. But this doesn't really give me what I want, does it? It really doesn't give me what I want. It's very unsatisfying. Of course, it gives a certain kind of satisfaction for a little while, doesn't it? Or we wouldn't do it. Now, one of the ways of getting rid of an anartha is to be honest about what kind of satisfaction it does give you, or it appears to give you. So, can we be honest? If we can't be honest about ourselves, we can talk just about other people. All right? So, let's not talk about anybody here, because none of us have the propensity to criticize others. Let's just talk about those other people who have the propensity to criticize others. You know those people. What do you think they get out of it? This is important. This is an important step. Why do you think people try to feel better about themselves by criticizing others? What does that do for them? It doesn't actually make them better. So what does that do for people? The false ego feels satisfied. What else? Yeah.
They get proud themselves because when they see the faults in the other people, they think, oh, I'm better than they.
Right.
So they get proud.
They reduce their. Low self esteem.
Okay. You reduce some of your anxieties about your own insufficiencies. Because all of us in this world are very uncomfortably aware of the fact that we're not really as good or as smart or as rich or as beautiful as we would like to hope other people believe we are. That's one of our little secrets. Isn't it? All these other people think I'm really clever, but actually I'm not really as clever as they think I am. And we have a lot of fear that somebody will find out that I'm not really as great as I present to the world. Somebody will find out all of my little secrets, all of my little failures, all of my little problems. And one thing that happens when we put others down is we feel better about that. We feel, well, at least I don't have that problem. At least I don't have that problem, you know. And it can be as stupid as, well, you know, especially I think women do this, maybe men do this too. You know, at least I've got better looking ears or something. As if we can claim any responsibility for something like that. So, yes, it lowers our threshold of anxiety about our many faults and insufficiencies, which is something we all worry about. We all worry that it will be revealed to the world, right? All of our faults. What else do we get out of criticizing others? Anything we get out of that? Anything more? Yes?
We get a lot of internal, I would say, false satisfaction.
Yeah.
And a sort of pleasure, which is, of course, contaminated with envy. And
but it is a kind of pleasure, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes.
There definitely is a kind of pleasure that we get from it. What is exactly that nature of that pleasure? Let's try to get it. What is really the nature of that pleasure?
Actually, we are envious.
Yeah, it's envy. But that envy gives us a certain kind of happiness. Yes, yes, but don't put it down right now. That won't help you right now. Because all those other poor people who criticize, they're doing it for some reason. Right? They're doing it for some reason. And it's a reason that must seem good to those people or they wouldn't keep doing it. Yes?
They're seeking appreciation for...
They're seeking some appreciation, which is a good thing. They want to turn the world to better by criticizing others. Yes, definitely. If I criticize others, then they'll improve. That's another reason. That's a very different reason than trying to make myself look better. If I criticize others, then they'll improve and the world will be a better place. And then I will have done something meaningful and significant to better the world. So, but let's go back to the first one a little, about making myself feel good by putting others down. Do you think that it is a valuable and positive thing to feel good about myself? No.
Oh, to think good about
myself. To feel good about myself. Is that something positive? Now, many times in spiritual life, do we think that humility means to hate myself? Do we sometimes think that? No, we don't think that. That's good. Some people think that way. They think that if you're really humble, you hate yourself. By the way, we're part of Krishna. Mamai mam so jiva lokai jiva bhuta sanatana. So if you hate yourself, guess what? You're hating part of Krishna. Yeah. So that doesn't work. So do you think that liking ourselves is part of spiritual life?
Yes.
Is that a good thing?
Yes.
Okay. So I think that one reason that people criticize is to try to like themselves and be happy with themselves and be comfortable with themselves. Is that a bad thing? To want to like yourself. It's not bad. You're not sure. Is it good or bad to like yourself? Is it good or bad?
It is fine to like oneself, but at the cost of others, then it's not.
Okay, I'm not asking about the way.
Okay.
But is it good or bad to like yourself?
It's good.
Why?
It doesn't matter.
Why is it? You say it doesn't matter.
If we cannot like ourselves, then how we can like others? Because we have to be internally satisfied first to give outside satisfaction.
All right. Now, we know we're trying to please Krishna. At least that's our philosophy. Do you think Krishna wants us to like ourselves, feel neutral about ourselves, or hate ourselves? Why? Why would Krishna want us to like ourselves?
Because we're part of Krishna.
We're part of Krishna. If we don't like ourselves, what are we doing? We're not liking him. I mean, I know we're never created, we're eternal, but still, did he create us? Did he create us? Did we come from him? If we don't like ourselves, what are we doing? We're criticizing him, aren't we? I don't like your manifestation. Right? Some of us are parents. Do we want our children to feel good about themselves or bad about themselves? We want them to feel good about themselves, don't we? Have you ever been around people who really don't like themselves? Who are always criticizing themselves? Ever been around those sort of people? No? Never met people like that? I'll introduce you to some. I had one friend who was always telling me, oh, I'm such a bad mother, I'm such a bad devotee, I'm such a bad wife, I'm so bad at this, I'm so bad at that, I'm so bad at this, I'm so... And this is bad, and this is bad, and this is bad, and this is bad. Would you like to be around somebody like that? Oh, I do this wrong, and I do this wrong, and I have this problem, and that problem, and this is bad, and this is bad. Would you like to be in that person's company? No. Neither does Krishna. Neither does Krishna. Doesn't interest him.
But what if it's honest and candid about others and as well about yourself?
Interesting, isn't it? So what is honest and candid? If I'm really honest about myself, who am I?
Part and parcel of Krishna.
I'm part and parcel of Krishna. That means I have all of the what of Krishna?
Qualities.
I have them in a small amount, but I have all of Krishna's qualities. So if I'm honest and candid about myself, who am I? Please describe ourselves. We must be what?
Spiritual.
We're spiritual. What else? What are some other of our qualities?
Eternal, blissful.
What else? I'm full of knowledge. What else? I'm Krishna's servant. What else? Describe some more of our qualities.
Seeking for relationship.
I'm seeking relationship. Some more qualities.
Loving.
I'm loving.
Caring.
I'm caring.
Honest.
I'm honest.
Humble.
I'm humble. What else? What are some more of my qualities as soul?
Beautiful.
I'm beautiful. What else?
Appreciate.
I'm appreciated and appreciative. What else?
Attractive.
I'm very attractive. Yes. In minute quantity, but very attractive. What else?
Pure.
I'm pure. What else?
Friendly.
I'm friendly. More.
Giving.
Giving. What else?
Intelligent.
Intelligent. Intelligent. What else?
Controller. Small but controller.
I'm a small controller. Yes. That's true. I also have some small independence. What else? I have some small independence. What else? What else am I?
Inquisitive.
I'm inquisitive. Yes.
Imperishable.
I'm imperishable. What else?
Creative.
Very creative.
Merciful.
Merciful. I'm a pretty nice person, aren't I?
Grateful.
Grateful. Yeah, I am. All right, now let's look at the other honest thing. The other part of honesty is, even though I'm all those wonderful things, and a lot more, a lot more. Krishna has many, many, many qualities, and I have all of them to a small extent. I'm very giving. I'm probably playful too, aren't I? Krishna's very playful. So even though I have all those wonderful qualities, what did I do? I did something. In fact, I'm doing it right now, if I'm not experiencing prema. What is it that I'm doing? I'm swimming in gunk. Do you know what gunk is? Like mud and sewage and... I've decided to take a bath in trash. So that's also part of honesty. So honesty sees both. I'm salt. I'm wonderful. And I just took a bath in trash. In fact, I'm taking a bath in trash constantly. So we see both. We see both. The trash is not me. But it's my choice to take a bath in it. So I am not envious. I am not cruel. I am not lusty. I am not greedy. But I am choosing to cover myself with those things. And that's very regrettable. Therefore, the great devotees very much regret that they are choosing. And it's especially regrettable when a great personality chooses to degrade themselves, isn't it? I mean, if someone's born to criminal parents and never get any education and they become a criminal and a drug addict, it's not so lamentable as if a very intelligent, wealthy, educated person from a high family becomes degraded. Right? That's very lamentable. So that's our situation. I am a part of God, and yet I have chosen to become addicted to envy and lust and anger and greed, like a drug. Like a person chooses to become addicted to heroin or alcohol or something like that. So both those things should be seen honestly. Therefore, part of the reason I lament my fallen condition is because I do like myself. It's not self-hatred. So both those things are there. Now, I think we just came upon the solution to our problem. If one of the reasons that I am criticizing others is that I want to feel good about myself, how can I feel good about myself without criticizing others? Didn't we just feel good about ourselves meditating on how we're soul? Did you all feel happy meditating on how you were soul? Did everybody feel happy? Did you feel happy? Isn't that nice? I'm young, I'm beautiful, I'm full of energy, I'm full of freedom, I'm full of kindness. Full of knowledge. That's who I am. So how can we feel good about ourselves without criticizing? Think about our real nature.
When we meditate on our real qualities.
Meditate on our real qualities. Now people say, well, I don't want to do that. Then I'll become proud. This is a trick of the mind. Right? Because obviously we need to feel good about ourselves. Krishna feels good about himself, doesn't he? And we are part of Krishna. We also need that. And if we don't do it in a spiritual way, then guess what? We'll do it in a material way. It's just like people need to eat. If you don't give them any food, they'll try to steal it. Won't they? If people get hungry enough. Isn't it? If people get hungry enough, they'll start turning to criminal activities in order to eat. Not everybody, but most people will. Most people will. So stopping criticism without dealing with the real problem is probably not possible. If I'm going to say, well, the way I'm going to stop criticism is I'm just going to feel bad about myself. I won't try to feel good about myself. The desire to feel good about yourself will manifest. And this is one reason that it's often so difficult for us, because we have this idea that as devotees, I'm supposed to feel bad about myself. I'm supposed to hate myself. I'm supposed to think that I'm just an abominable person. And because that's so unnatural, the urge to feel good about ourselves then comes out in the wrong way. Then you may say, well, wait a minute, Arila, what about all these statements of these great devotees? You know, I'm lower than a worm in stool. You know, go back and read that section of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Krishna Das Kaviraj is saying, I'm the lowest, I'm lower than a worm in stool, but still I've been given the service of Radha and Krishna. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is saying, I'm just like a crow and you've turned me into Garuda. So they're seeing both. They're seeing both. I'm actually a wonderful person. I'm part of Krishna. I'm Krishna's servant. And I've made this terrible decision to try to fulfill my desires through material life. How unfortunate. And it's especially unfortunate because I am part of God. That makes it even more unfortunate. My lamentation becomes deeper. That I have caused pain to my Lord, and I've caused pain to myself through my foolish decision. But this lamentation is mixed with an appreciation of oneself. In fact, the more you appreciate yourself, the more you lament at your foolish decision. Does that make sense? So it's not mixed with self-hatred, it's mixed with self-love. It's mixed with love for Krishna. I feel sorry that I've hurt Krishna. I feel sorry that I've disappointed him. like a child, their parents give them a university education and sacrifice so much, and then the child goes and becomes a drug addict. And one day the child says, I've really hurt you. You gave me so much, and I've disappointed you. I had so much potential, I didn't use it properly. So that kind of lamentation is mixed with love for the parents and love for oneself. And if we do that, our urge to criticize others will go very far down. Because the thing that's feeding it is gone. Does this make sense to all of you? Just like they say with children, that many times children will act in a naughty way because they want attention. You've heard this, right? And they always say, give the child attention when they do something positive, and then they won't need to try to get attention in a negative way. Meet that need in another way. There are, according to behavioral science, you all know what behavioral science is? Stimulus and response. There's 8 ways to change a bad behavior. We were talking yesterday about how to start a good behavior. But 8 ways to change a bad behavior, and let's see if I can remember all of them. The first one is to destroy the situation. So I'm criticizing other people. I just will never be around anybody anymore. I'll never talk to anybody. I'll never see anybody. I'll never interact with anybody. Destroying the situation is like, my house is dirty. I just burned down my house. I have a bad marriage. I get divorced, or I shoot the person, or, you know. Now, this, by the way, sometimes is a good solution. Person is a criminal, you put them in jail. You have a lousy job, you quit and you get another job. I mean, there are times when destroying the situation is appropriate. All of these 8 work, by the way. But only one of them gets to the root. Okay, destroying the situation. Another one is punishment. Punishing others or punishing ourselves. Oh, by the way, Krishna uses all of these also. Now, one difficulty with punishment is that it comes after the bad behavior. So I criticized you, I thought, oh, look at that. He's not wearing any teeth. Not wearing dhoti. I'm much better than this. Oh, no, I criticized. Oh, I'm so bad. Oh, no. Okay. Problem with punishment is it comes after I've done the bad behavior, and therefore there's no way to avoid the punishment. I can't fix it. Also, if someone else is punishing us, often we just feel like, I just don't want to get caught next time. Another problem with punishment is that I feel so bad about the punishment that I'm likely just like if I punish you, you might think, instead of I'm going to change my behavior, you'll think I'll just make sure she doesn't catch me next time. Right? Does that happen? You with me? Did you understand what I'm saying?
No, not the last one.
Okay, let's say you do something wrong and I punish you. You may then think, instead of thinking, I won't do the bad behavior, you might just think, I'll keep doing the bad behavior, but I'll make sure that Urmila doesn't see me. Do we do this?
Yeah.
Yes. Now, it works with self-punishment also. So if I self-punish, then I may just decide, next time I'm not going to notice when I do the bad behavior. I'll hide it from myself. Okay. The third way is what's called negative reinforcement. Negative reinforcement is when the punishment comes at the time, not later. Punishment comes later. I've criticized you, and a half an hour later, I start, oh, I'm so bad, I'm so fallen, I'm so this, I'm so that. Negative is at the time. I start to think critical of you. Oh, look how you're sitting in the temple. Oh no, I criticized you. Okay, I shouldn't do that anymore. It's immediate. Negative reinforcement is much more effective than punishment. But still, I tend to want to avoid noticing things because I want to avoid the pain. We all try to avoid pain. And if I associate pain with the thing, I may move back. The fourth one is rewarding the absence of the behavior. So I notice I've gone for an hour without criticizing anyone. And I say, wow, that was really good. Okay? And it can even go to shaping the absence of the behavior. So I see someone's doing something wrong and I just think, well, I'm sure the person is trying to do the right thing. I'm sure they have good motives. Maybe they just don't know any better. Or maybe there's some other circumstances that I'm not aware of. And then I tell myself, oh, Urmila, that's very good. You saw the good side of someone instead of criticizing. I reward myself for doing the opposite of the behavior. Okay, another one. So far we have destroy the situation, punishment, negative reinforcement, and shape the absence of the behavior. Another one is a very interesting one. As I said, Krishna uses all these, which is called putting the bad behavior on cue. This is what we do with children in the school. We say, all right, now you can run around and scream. It's playtime. We ring a bell. Run around and scream time, right? Mm-hmm. What happens when you put the behavior on cue is then the people don't do it the rest of the time. And of course, Krishna does this in the scripture. All right, you want to drink wine? You can drink wine at this occasion. You offer it to this demigod. You want to have sex? Okay, you get married. You have this. You can do it under these particular circumstances. And then the idea is that you gradually stop giving the signal. You condition yourself, I will only do this bad behavior on this signal, and then you give the signal less and less and less and less and less, and the bad behavior goes away. So I knew someone who did this. They had a bad habit of reading nonsense things on the internet. So they said, all right, I'm only going to read nonsense things on the internet after I've finished all my rounds and I've done at least 5 hours of devotional service. But they found that by the time they finished their rounds and did 5 hours of devotional service, it was often late in the day and they had other things, and they often didn't have time to read nonsense. But every once in a while, they would have time to read nonsense. And they were telling me that after a month or so of this, they hardly ever read nonsense anymore. And it's very effective. Because if you just say to the mind, I'm never going to criticize anybody anymore. The mind will say, never criticize anybody? It goes crazy. It goes completely mad.
Starts criticizing oneself.
Starts criticizing oneself. I can't do that. That's impossible. But if you say, all right, I'll do this bad behavior. Of course, Hari Das Thakur told the prostitute this. He said, yes, yes, I will enjoy with you after I finish my japa. Of course, he was chanting 192 rounds and he never finished his japa. So you can, as soon as the tendency comes to criticize, you can say, all right, I can criticize after I finish my rounds, after I finish my work. At 6 o'clock every night, I can criticize. It sounds funny, but it's extremely effective. It's a very, very, very effective thing to do. And at 6 o'clock, you can get out a little piece of paper and write down all your criticisms of everybody for the day. As soon as your mind starts criticizing, oh, save that, can't do that till 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock, you can criticize. Okay. And then do it. And after a while, it will stop. It's a very, very effective way to trick the mind. By the way, you can also do this during japa if your mind disturbs you during japa. You can say, fine, fine, I'll think about this after japa. And make sure you do it, or your mind won't believe you next time. When you finish with japa, say, okay, all right, now tell me all the things you're worried about. Okay, whatever you want to do. So putting the bad behavior on cue. Right, so we have destroying the situation, punishment, negative reinforcement, positive reinforcement, putting it on cue. Then another one is just what we call extinguishing, just waiting for it to go away by itself. And this is often helpful for certain things, just like, you know, your little baby. Aradita. So just like Aradita, she's making little noises in the class. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to punish, you don't have to use negative reinforcement, you don't have to put it on cue, you don't have to do anything. As she grows up, it will naturally go away. None of us sit here in class going, nah! Right? It just naturally, it goes away. I brought this up sometimes when a man and woman are first, as we say, this kind of associating before they get married, right? And usually at that stage, they're causing some disturbance in the community. You notice this, right? They sit down for japa and they're looking across the room. And sometimes people say, what are we going to do about this? I say, nothing. You don't have to do anything about it. It'll go away. They'll be married for a while and they, you know. It'll go away. You don't generally see people after 2 years of marriage just going in public. They just, you know, it's gone. You don't have to do anything. So, to some extent, if we keep chanting Hare Krishna and we keep... Sorry about that, but it's true.
What's wrong with you?
It is a fact that if you're chanting Hare Krishna and you work on appreciating, that at least some of the tendency to criticize will go away by itself. That is true. It will naturally become less and less and less attractive. Now, I'm missing one of them, and I can't remember what it is right now. I've given you... there's eight. I've given you six. What is the seventh? Maybe I'll think of it. Anyway, the eighth one, which is the only one that gets to the root of the problem, is finding what the need is and satisfying it. What is the need I have that's driving this bad behavior and satisfying it in a positive way? All the other ones deal with the external behavior, and that's the only one that really deals with the root. So we want to look at what is the need that is driving us to criticize others. We talked about one of them is we want to feel good about ourselves. We talked about how we can feel good about ourselves in a genuine way. And the other one, which we discussed, was we want to do something that's meaningful. I see so many things that are wrong in the world, so many problems. And I'm thinking that one way to fix them is to criticize others. Now, wanting to do something meaningful is also a very good thing, isn't it? We should all want to do something meaningful. Should we want to have a meaningless life? No. Should we want to try to do good for the world? Of course. Does criticizing others generally accomplish that?
No.
No. Not generally. I remember a time, this is embarrassing, but I remember a time in ISKCON where I really tried to fix ISKCON by criticism. One of my friends and I would that was pretty funny. One of my friends and I would sometimes write lists of all the things that were wrong in the particular temple where we were associated with. And we'd give the list to the temple authorities. What do you think was the result of doing that? What do you think happened?
You prepared a list of?
We made a list of all of the problems in the temple. We gave it to the temple authorities. What do you think was the result?
Of course, the temple authorities would have felt very bad. They are the ones who are responsible for ensuring things to be correct.
Yes. So they felt very bad, and what do you think happened?
You become hatred. You have become separated. You become separated.
We became separated, right. Did the temple authorities like us to come around?
No.
No. Every time we came around, they're thinking, oh, here are the criticizers. So we ended up separating ourselves from a lot of the community. What else do you think happened? Do you think that anything on the list got fixed? Nothing. Not one thing on that list got fixed. And simply people started thinking, oh, this is a troublemaker. And after a while, I decided, this is not working. Now, do many people do this? Do many people try to do good for the world by criticizing?
Yes.
They criticize the government, they criticize their boss, they criticize their husband, they criticize their parents, they criticize the temple president, they criticize the GBC. Ultimately, we criticize God. Okay? And we think by criticizing, things will improve. How many of us, and don't answer this, just really think about this, how many of us really change our life when we're criticized? Not very often. I mean, it's really unusual that we make a deep change in our life because somebody criticizes us. How do most of us respond, or how do most people respond to criticism?
We
do it more, or we just become defensive, or we just find some fault in the other person. Right? It's extremely unusual that a person will make a change when they're criticized. So what would be a positive way for us to do something meaningful to change the world?
Be the change.
be the change we want to see in the world. And do what? What other things could we do?
Appreciate others.
People are much more likely to change if you appreciate what they're doing right. What about doing something positive ourselves to set an example? Right? Be the kind of person we'd like to others to be. Set a good example. Appreciate the good we see in others. We all have plenty of facility to do meaningful work in ways that don't involve criticizing others. Now, sometimes we also criticize others because we care about them. And we see that they're doing something that's hurting themselves. And we want to contribute to them having a happy life. Right? And this is especially applies to our family and our friends, people we really, 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 really care about. So there may be someone I don't really care about doing something and I don't say anything. I may not even think anything. I just think it's not my business. But if it's somebody close to me, but again, what's usually the result of that? If I try to help the people I care about by criticizing them, what usually happens?
Usually, the other person becomes very defensive because
yes.
he or she is not prepared
yes.
to take that input.
Generally, the other person becomes defensive. Does the other person usually change when we criticize them? Not usually. In fact, they will then tend to avoid us. Sometimes. It does happen sometimes. Yes?
Sometimes it works, but after some time, the other person starts criticizing the bad qualities in return.
Yes. Yes. So I think sometimes it does work, but the price tends to be a little high.
Sorry, what's he said? I couldn't...
He said that... Why don't you repeat it?
Sometimes it works,
uh-huh.
but after some time, the other person starts criticizing us.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yes. So the price tends to be high. Also, I think it often damages the relationship. Certainly, it can be done sometimes. And there are times, if you're a parent, if you're a teacher, if you're a manager, when it is your duty to criticize. That's true. But then the question is, what is the mood?
There are different ways to criticize even when you're in a position of responsibility.
Yes, there are ways. We don't have time to get into that tonight, unfortunately. We'll just say, as a principle, there are ways to criticize that are not envious. And you have to watch your mood. And also you want to see that you actually have the position where that's your duty to criticize. Now, if you're the parent and you never criticize your child... Your child will have difficulty. If you're the teacher and you never criticize the student will have difficulty. But it should be done out of love, and there should be lots of appreciation going on in the relationship, not only criticism. People cannot take only criticism. I haven't met such a person who can take only criticism. It just doesn't work. So even if there are situations where we have that position, and it's our duty, and it must be done, my suggestion is that it be done rarely, and it be done without envy, and in an atmosphere of appreciation, and out of respect for the person. One way we can say very, very, very simply is to always assume the other person has good motives, even if you think they don't. Try to find some good motive. You know, you may be a manager in a company, and one employee did a very sloppy job. You can say, listen, maybe that day you were in a hurry. You were trying to do so many things. And honestly, people, you do usually have good motives. You know, you think about the husband who's working late. And why is he working late? Maybe he's trying to earn more money for his family. And if he comes home and the wife says, you're working late because you don't care about me. Maybe he's working late because he does care about her. She could say instead, I know you're working late because you do care about me. Even if that's not true, it helps for him to accept. I know you're working late because you care about me. I appreciate that. I'm very happy that you want to work late so you can earn more money. But you know, I'm a lot more interested in you than the money. And I'd be happier if we had a little less money and I had more time with you. That would be more meaningful to me. I know you're doing this for me. Even if she thinks that's not really why he's doing it. People are much more likely to respond if you assume that their motives are good. If you go to someone and you say, you're just doing this because you want this and this and this and you want this and this and this, not going to respond well. It just doesn't work. I've never seen that work. I've never seen criticism work when you assume the other person has bad motives. I just haven't seen it work. Okay? So if we want to help other people, we're much more likely to help other people. First of all, I mean, this is just shown by scientific research. You're much more likely to help other people improve through appreciation than through criticism. All of us tend to do more of something that brings us pleasure and less of something that brings us pain. That's just a general principle of life. If something brings us pleasure, we'll do more of it. If something brings us pain, we do less of it. If certain things if being around a particular person means they're going to criticize me, I'm going to avoid that person. Very, very simple. If I'm trying to do my best and all you do is criticize me, I won't even want to do the activity at all. I will repeat things that give me pleasure. And again, all of us like honest correction from someone we trust. We all like that. It's something that we're grateful for, but it should be in a form that we can digest. And we can really think about, when am I open to being corrected? When can I really take it? But even though we like that, I'll tell you, even then it's hard. I have people that, you know, I know they love me, I trust them, I know they're giving me correction out of love for me, and still it's sometimes hard. Still sometimes they say, you know, Ermila, this thing you did really wasn't very nice. The initial reaction of the mind is to fight. And it's like you have to go, isn't it? It's hard. So even in the very best of circumstances, even when we're grateful for it, it's difficult. So if I feel that way, everybody else feels that way too. Therefore, be very, 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 very careful, even when we think, this is my job. It's better to find other ways to help people whenever possible and to give the criticism very, very, very carefully. I know this is what you're trying to do, but maybe there's a better way to do it. I know you're trying to do a good thing. Maybe there's a better way to do it. See the good under the bad. See the good thing that's pushing someone to do the bad behavior. All right, so we talked a lot about appreciation, and then in talking about criticism, we talked about how a lot of our criticism is based on envy, and envy is coming from a rather twisted way of trying to feel good about ourselves, that we can feel good about ourselves rather by reality than I'm part of Krishna. And that doesn't have to be prideful. It can be mixed with the understanding that I'm also, that although I'm part of Krishna, I'm very fallen. And that thinking in that way can be part of loving ourselves. Then we also talked about criticism as a way to do something meaningful in the world, as a way to improve the world, and that we're far more likely to improve the world in ways other than criticism, and criticism as a way to help the people that we love, and other ways we can do that as well. We also talked about some behavioral techniques to change our bad behavior. I don't have, because I'm leaving very, very early in the morning, and I have to do a few things before I go to bed, I don't really have time for discussion and questions, for which I profusely apologize, because I'm sure there's a lot of things that we could discuss probably for another hour or so. My suggestion is that you all discuss this with yourselves and this be something that you really think about and work with others and work on coming to a point where your own life is full of appreciation for others and that your heart is devoid of the propensity to criticize others. That if you have to criticize others as part of your job, you do it rarely, with great respect, and without an envious mentality. And if we work on this, then we will experience the spiritual world here and now. The spiritual world is not simply a location, it's a consciousness. And we will then be in the consciousness of the spiritual world. And how nice, this is something we can control. This is something that we can do. This doesn't depend on being in a holy place. It doesn't depend on having some sadhu touch us on the head. It's something we can choose to do. And we can choose to do it now. We can choose at least to work on it, to make some steps in that direction. Even if they're small steps, even if I say, I am going to show my appreciation for each person in my life at least once a week. I'm going to make a list of the most important people in my life. I'm going to make sure that I show some, not praise, but appreciation for them at least once a week. And I'm going to take some positive steps to cut down on the criticism. I'm going to cut it down. And I'm going to keep working on cutting it down until the propensity is gone. I'm going to take all of the things that drive me to criticize, and I'm going to satisfy them in positive spiritual ways so that my hunger for this is dissipated. And if we do this, Krishna will be extremely pleased with us. We'll be so much happier persons. And our ability to advance in spiritual life will be enhanced. Our adhikar for spiritual life will be enhanced by millions and millions and millions of times. And of course, if everybody did this, then we'd have a very nice society to live in now, wouldn't we? So I want to thank you very much. I've had a wonderful visit here to Munich. Again, I'm going to say, if there's anything that I said that you don't agree with or was disturbing, then please...